Seven basic headings, as we've seen. The good news is, as we've already celebrated this morning, that our gracious Lord, through the Lord's Prayer, through engaging with Him and worshiping Him, He provides the answers to our every need. And He says to us, I can meet every need you'll ever face. He says, I want to meet every need you'll ever have. And God says, I will meet every need you'll ever have in this life or in the life to come if we will trust Him. If we will trust me, he says. The Lord's Prayer is like a summary of an insurance policy. You know, you get these policies, it says it's an umbrella policy, and you say, what's that mean? Well, everything under the umbrella, it covers. And the Lord's Prayer is like an umbrella, and it shows what's covered for the person who trusts and obeys the Lord. So let's review the past 8 weeks. Today we're going to review where we've been and then have some teaching at the end about where we're headed and how to keep praying the Lord's Prayer. And let's look to God's answer to every need and what it means to trust Him for that when we rightly understand and apply the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that so many of us grew up reciting, memorizing in different churches, and we've reclaimed that these last several weeks. Let's write these down. Number one, God's answer to my inferiority is His paternity and His priority. Inferiority is a universal problem. People say, even though they may not say it out loud, but they feel this way, so many do. I don't like myself. I wish I were different. Or I don't feel good about myself and who I am. So what do? We try to build ourselves up through self-esteem seminars or buying status symbols. Do something to try to make us feel better about ourselves, to feel more superior than inferior. But God says, no, your value comes because I made you, and I've claimed you to be my own. Your value comes through having a personal relationship with me, your Heavenly Father. So God's answer to my inferiority, as we've seen, is His person, His paternity, His fatherhood over me, our Father in heaven. And as we've seen, God becomes our Father when we experience a personal saving relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your significance comes, and mine comes, not from what you achieve, not from what you accomplish, not from what you purchase or possess. Your significance comes because of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. As Rick Warren, the opening line of his book, you remember The Purpose-Driven Life, what did he say? It's not about you. It's all about Him and having a relationship with Him. Charlie Kirk, one of the last things he was quoted as saying before he was assassinated, he said, it's not about me. It never has been. It's always been about Him. And that's what we need to say about ourselves and about our fellowship together. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about focusing on Jesus, and that's why we're here. So if God is your Father, if God loves you unconditionally, then nothing can ever lessen or diminish His love for you. If God likes you, then you know what? You can like you. You can like you too, because He made you. And He's not mad at you, as we often say. He's mad about you. That's why He sent His Son, because He loves you so much. So God's answer to my inferiority is His paternity, His person, that is, and His priority in my life, which is why we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. One person said that when I was a child, I learned this prayer as Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They learned it that way. Another shared, when my son was in nursery school, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name? Thankfully, God knows your name. Your name is written on the palm of His hand, he says. And those hands were spread at the cross with nail-scarred hands, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. He knows your name, and we can know His name. He knows all about you and loves you. And we've seen in this series how God's name, and we went through all of those names of God. We sang one of them today, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. All that He is, His character, His plan and will is wrapped up in His name. So to hallow the Lord's name means that He is the number one priority. Among other things, it means He's number one, and that's the key. Number two, God's answer to my confusion is His purpose and His plan. We all have confusing questions. Who am I and why am I here? Where am I going? What is the meaning of life? Why is all this happening to me? Confusing questions. But those who are children of the Heavenly Father pray, your kingdom come. And this is the purpose of God, that our greatest desire is to see the Lord reigning as king in his kingdom, and for us, brothers and sisters, to be preoccupied with his purpose to declare his glory among the nations. And as what John Piper said, missions exist because worship does not. And we're here to declare his glory and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. That's our purpose. That's our mission. We're also to pray, notice, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray your will be done, we're asking God to guide us individually within the jet stream of his will and the Holy Spirit's direction for the big purpose. We're asking him to guide us into his specific plan, his direction for our lives, which is good. God has an eternal purpose, his kingdom come, and God has a personal plan for your life, his will be done. And when we find and follow God's purpose and plan, that begins to dissipate and clear up the fog of our confusion. Number three, God's answer to my worry is his provision. Children of the Heavenly Father can pray, give us today our daily bread. Someone said that as a child, they thought this prayer was, give us this day our jelly bread. Now, that may be something we want, but our jelly bread. A mom said that when her twin daughters were young, she taught them how to pray the Lord's Prayer before going to bed. And so one night, she left them and they were praying by themselves, their twin girls. And she heard outside their door, she heard them say, give us this steak and daily bread, and forgive us our mattresses. So they didn't get it all right, but they were thinking about steak and bread and mattresses when they prayed. You know, our worries include a long list of problems and needs, doesn't it? Different stages of life, we have different worries. When we were younger, we worried about when those kids would turn in, and now we worry about how they'll turn out, don't we? I mean, that's what we're worried about. We have a lot of worries. We worry about our health, our jobs, our finances, our future, our family, our country, our retirement. Lord, will there be enough? You ever think, worry about that? Lord, am I going to be able to die well? You ever think about that? Worry about that? We worry. But God the Father promises, thank God, to provide for his children's every need when we need him most at the right time. So bread, we've seen, not only represents food, but when you pray this prayer, bread is symbolic of all of our needs, and through prayer, through surrendering to the Lord and seeking him, we recognize God as the source of every good gift. And how we've said, your job is not the source. Your income is not the source. God is the source of the one who provides for every need. His answer to our worry, thank God, is his provision. Number four, God's answer to my guilt is his pardon. Every child and even children of the Heavenly Father still sin because we still make mistakes after coming to Christ. We still fall 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. We still blow it. We still have regrets. And we all still feel guilty. And there's only one solution to the problem of guilt, and that's forgiveness, found only in Jesus Christ through his cross. Remember, God forgives us instantly, completely, repeatedly, and freely because of what Jesus Christ did for us by dying in our place, taking the penalty for our sins on the cross. We come clean when we pray, Lord, forgive us our debts. Forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me my sins. And we're cleansed. We can know that we're forgiven in our mind, according to the word, and now we can begin to feel forgiven. God's answer to my guilt is his pardon. Number five, God's answer to my strained relationships then is his peace, his shalom. We're to pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who have sinned against us. When we hurt others, it causes guilt. And when other people hurt us, it can cause resentment. The two sides of the coin of misery are hurt and resentment. That's a miserable person when they're hurting and also when they have resentment. The Bible says there's only one answer to those two problems. The word is forgiveness. Forgiveness from God for my guilt. And then forgiveness to others for my resentment. It only takes Two to reconcile. It takes two to reconcile, but it only takes one to forgive. And whether or not someone is willing to reconcile with you, you need to forgive. And Christ will give you the grace to do that, no matter the offense. God's answer to hurtful or hurting relationships is His peace, experiencing peace with God through knowing Jesus Christ, enjoying the peace of God through the Holy Spirit, and then expressing peace from God by forgiving others who have hurt us. The love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, what Romans says, flows in us and through us, and then by His grace, we can forgive other people who have hurt us. Number six, God's answer to my temptations is His power. We all want to rise above circumstances and have victory over problems, temptations to sin, so we're to pray. Lead us not into temptation. A man said, when I was younger, I believe the prayer was, lead us not into temptation. He said, I thought I was praying for my little sister to get into trouble. That was a temptation. That's not what he was praying. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're asking God to keep us from people, places, and things that would not only discourage us, but distract us from the mission and eventually destroy us. We've said how only children of the Father can claim and believe and have the power of this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, God is faithful. He is. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. That's His promise. And it's true, and it works. The answer to our temptations is God's power, not our power. As there's an old song that says, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we've sang and referred to that song in Revelation. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the word of the gospel. They overcame Him by the power of the blood that was shed for them. Number seven. God's answer to my fear is His protection. When we pray, deliver us from the evil one, and by the way, that's not deliver us from email, as someone put it. Someone thought they were praying, that may be a valid prayer, deliver me from email, but this is deliver us from the evil one. We receive a protective shield around our lives, and we've seen how the evil one is the devil, the personification of evil, the devil, but God is our deliverer. 1 John 4:4 says of the believer, but you belong to God, the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Say that verse with me. You see it? But you belong to God, the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. He says, fear not, for I am with you. God's answer to my fear is His protection. So, as we look at our lives, there are basically seven kinds of problems and needs, and God has the answer to all of them. He provides an answer as we trust Him for these. Did you write them down? Number one, God's answer to my inferiority is what? His paternity and priority. Number two, God's answer to my confusion is His? Number three, God's answer to my worry is His? Number four, God's answer to my guilt is His? Number five, God's answer to my strained relationships is His.
Peace.
Number six, God's answer to my temptations is His.
Power.
And number seven, God's answer to my fear is His.
Protection.
You've got it. Praise God. Don't we have a lot to be thankful for? If you are a child of the Father, if you are a freely forgiven and fully devoted follower of Jesus, don't you have a lot to be thankful for? The Lord's Prayer is like a blank check for the believer. The Lord says, this is your blank check. I will meet all of your needs. All of your needs I will cover. And no wonder we should worship the Lord and praise Him by saying, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Say that phrase with me. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may know that this doxology, this word of giving glory to God at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it's not found in the most reliable manuscripts of the New Testament. In many modern translations, these words are put in footnotes or placed in brackets, depending on the translation you use or the paraphrase you use. And although they may not have been in the original account, the words are perfectly fitting in this passage, and they express the truth of Scripture. These phrases form a beautiful benediction. Notice how they declare the preeminence of God, the awesome greatness of His eternal kingdom, His limitless power, and His majestic glory. And if you're taking notes, these words are an echo of 1 Chronicles 29:11. 1 Chronicles 29:11 in the Old Testament. And to the minds and hearts of Matthew's Jewish readers, this would have been an appropriate climax to this paradigm of prayer, this pattern for prayer. Now, while we've highlighted many lessons and applications from the Lord's Prayer, I want you to write down, in summary, how the Lord's Prayer teaches us two main things of all we've looked at these last several weeks. First, it teaches me that I should always put God first in my life as the source. Whenever I, as a child of God, have a need, we all have them. We have them today. You'll have one today and later today. The first place I should look to is my Father as my source. I don't need to look to another person. Now, He may provide that help through another person, but the first place I should look is not another person, not my job, my spouse, or the government to meet my needs. I need to always put God first and look to Him as the source of meeting all those needs. You remember early last century, a man by the name of Lenin came up with an idea: put your trust in the government or the collective state, and it will meet all your needs. Well, that didn't work out too well, did it? It never has, and it never will. But sadly, how many Americans, or especially people today in the Western world today, think that the government should or will meet all their needs? Well, we think that the gold card will meet all our needs. And we somehow think that we can buy our way or charge our way out of problems or financially fulfill all our needs. But we know it to be true. I trust you know it to be true, that the answer to our needs is not the government and it's not the gold card. It's God. God promises to meet all our needs if we will look to Him first and trust Him and obey Him. The second thing the Lord's Prayer teaches me is that I need to be very specific in my praying, in my prayers. Sometimes Christians say, oh, I pray, but I really don't sense God giving me any answers. And I understand that. We can go through a dry time and we don't sense the Lord answering in a way we may want at the certain time or in the way we want it. But sometimes it's the case that we're not very specific in our prayers and we're just praying in a general way. Specific requests receive specific answers. And here's how it works. For example, when you're feeling inferior, lower than a snake's belly, pray for a deeper understanding of and appreciation of the fatherhood of God. Say, thank you, Lord, that you're my Father. Thank you that I can put you number one, that you're worthy to be number one. When you're confused, feeling that way, pray to know how to discover and to do His kingdom purpose and fulfill His plan for your life by going to the playbook, by going to the Word of God. And He'll show you His will. When you're worried, pray for His provision. When you're feeling guilty, pray for His pardon. When you're experiencing strained relationships, Lord, give me your peace in this situation. When you're tempted, pray for His power. And when you're feeling fearful, Lord, shield me. Give me the protection of the shed blood of your Son in this situation, because there is an evil one and you are my deliverer. You've got to be specific and trust Him for every need. I love how Elmer Towns tells a great story about a small boy. He was in one of these fast food restaurants, and he was watching a small boy who was playing with his French fries across the way. And he was dipping the end of one in the ketchup and waving it like a baton, leading the band. And the boy's father, Elmer could see him across the way. The boy's father was enjoying the moment. The father took his son out for lunch and bought him a hamburger and some French fries. And the young boy was more interested in playing with the French fries than eating them, though. Eat your French fries, the father coaxed, but the son continued to wave his French fry baton and the band played on. And then almost by instinct, the father, and we've all done this, haven't we, with your kids or grandkids, the father reached over and did something most fathers have done. He took one French fry out of that little package. No, the son said sharply, and he slapped his father's hand. And then raising his voice, the boy repeated, "No!" The stunned father sat surveying the situation, though saying nothing. "Who does he think he is?" he thought. "He's my son. I bought these French fries, and I should be able to eat the fries that he won't eat." But the little boy had already gone back to leading his make-believe band, and though he had forgotten the situation. And the father, however, had not forgotten. Elmer Towns is reading into what he must be thinking. He thought to himself, "I could get mad as a dad and never buy him another French fry in his life." But the father was not mad at his son. He was more surprised than anything. He continued to think, "I could bury him in French fries and smother him in ketchup. I love him so much. He's my son." And the father sat in the plastic chair watching his son dip another fry in the ketchup and then lead the band. And the little guy had no idea of the thoughts going through his father's mind. And he tells his story because you know what? We're like that little boy. Our Heavenly Father reaches over to take one of our French fries, say in the form of worship or a couple of hours of serving him when it's all his time anyway, but we think, "I'm dedicating this part to the Lord," or a couple of hours of worship on Sunday morning with his people, or asking us to support his ministry and mission with our time and talents and treasure, which all belong to him anyway. But all too often we slap the Father's hand, telling him, "No, keep your hand out of my life." Now God doesn't even want to take all our French fries from us, even though he has every right to. And after all, he made all the French fries. He owns all the French fries. It all belongs to him. But like a selfish little child, and I'm speaking to myself too, we say, "Lord, sometimes no. Lord, sometimes no. Don't touch that. Don't take that away from me. It belongs to me." No, it doesn't. It belongs to you, Lord. The question of the little boy and his father is a question about our Heavenly Father and his children. The question is this: who owns your French fries? Who owns your French fries? And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we recognize more than anything else that God is the owner. He is the Lord. He is the ruler of our lives. We recognize that God owns our French fries and we must trust him for every need. The Lord's Prayer is not just a model prayer. It's not just a pattern or a paradigm for our praying. The Lord's Prayer is to be a way of life. And I need to use this model prayer to evaluate my life, my relationships with the Lord, and my relationships with other people. So I've included a checklist. If you look on the back page of your notes, applying the Lord's Prayer to our personal lives, let's go through this together. And as we do, before we pray, we need to ask ourselves before the Lord, as we review this, are there any areas I need to surrender to the Lord in order to be able to say and pray the Lord's Prayer and trust him for my every need? Let's look at it together on the back page and on the screen. If I don't know Christ, I can't pray our Father. I cannot pray our Father unless I've been born again into the Father's forever family. God is the creator of all, but he's not the father of all. He is only the father of those who come into a right relationship with his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have been born from above by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your father? If so, you can pray our Father. If I glorify myself, I cannot pray, "Hallowed be your name." Unless Jesus has first priority in my life, I cannot pray that prayer, "Hallowed be your name." If I reject his rules, I can't pray your kingdom come. If I won't submit to him, I can't pray your will be done. Unless I'm committed to knowing and doing his purpose and plan, I cannot pray your kingdom come, your will be done. If my life is only for the here and now, I can't pray on earth as it is in heaven. If I am self-sufficient, I can't pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Unless I'm willing to share bread with those in need, I cannot pray, "Give us today our daily bread." If I won't forgive, I can't pray, "Forgive us our debts." If I'm unforgiving, if I'm harboring an unforgiving attitude or holding a grudge against someone else, I cannot pray, "Forgive us our debts." If I'm unwilling to forgive my debtors, those who have sinned against me, If I seek sin, I can't pray. Lead us not into temptation. If I continue to expose myself to compromising people, places, and situations and things, I can't pray that prayer. If I'm a friend of evil, I can't pray, deliver us from the evil one. Unless I really desire to walk in the light, as he is in the light, in purity and integrity, by his Spirit, I cannot pray, deliver us from the evil one. If I try to build my own empire, I can't pray, yours is the kingdom. If I rely on my own power, I can't pray, yours is the power. And if I take credit, I can't pray, yours is the glory. You've heard me refer to F.B. Meyer, who said this: in all true believers, Christ is present. In many, Christ is prominent. In all too few, Christ is preeminent. And my prayer for you and for me over these past 8 weeks has been that through our study of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ would be preeminent in each of our lives and through the corporate life of our church. Has that prayer been answered for you, for me, and for us? It still can be, even being answered today. We did not just want to just study the meaning of the phrases of the Lord's Prayer, or to just repeat and memorize the Lord's Prayer, or even to just receive answers from God through praying the Lord's Prayer. We've been on this journey together to help us deepen our conversation with the Lord, to help us live and experience the Lord through this prayer, believing that God, by his word, through his Spirit, in the name of his dear Son, would change our lives, would transform us, and as a result, transform the lives of many who would and who yet will, we believe, come to know Christ as Savior. We've spent this time in the Lord's Prayer so that you can touch God, but more importantly, so that God can touch you. Would you bow with me for prayer? Let's bow our heads together. And as we do, I want to walk you through these questions of reflection with our heads bowed before the Lord, these evaluation questions as we pray. Ask yourself about these areas. I cannot pray our Father unless I've been born again into God's family. Ask yourself, do I know Christ? Have I ever committed my life to Christ and surrendered to him? If you've never done that, or unsure about that, you can do that right now. The Lord's Prayer is for all believers, but for believers only. If you've never opened your heart and life to Jesus Christ, do that right now. And in your heart, silently say to the Lord something like this: Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I celebrate your resurrection by giving my life to you. I open the door of my life and receive you into every aspect of my life. I accept you as my Lord and my God and my personal Savior. I thank you for eternal life. I can't pray, hallowed be your name, unless Christ has first place in my life. What or who is taking first place right now? How do I know who is or what is first? Look at where you spend your time right now, your money. Is God first in those areas? Who gets the first part of your time? Who gets the first part of your money? Is the Lord first? If he is, he'll be first place in time and money and everything else. I can't pray your kingdom come, your will be done, if I reject his rules and if I won't submit to him. I can't pray on earth as it is in heaven if my life is only for the here and now. So am I committed to fulfilling God's purpose and plan? To pray your kingdom come means that people need the Lord, and there are people all around you who need Jesus. And maybe you need to start sharing your faith with them and invite them and bring them with you. I can't pray, give us today our daily bread, if I'm not willing to share with those in need. What should I stop worrying about? Start trusting God to provide. And yes, focus on Jesus Christ more than anything or anyone else. I can't pray, forgive us our debts, if I'm holding on to an unforgiving attitude or spirit towards someone else. So Lord, help us. Now is the time to forgive, to release, and be forgiven. I can't pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, if I continue to seek sin and side with the devil. Is there a sin I need to confess? Is there a temptation I need God's power and protection to help me overcome? Am I willing to change and say, Lord, I repent, I return, and I'm willing to let you change me? If I'm trying to build my own empire, relying on my own resources and strength and abilities and taking the credit, oh, I can't pray, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory. So, Lord, we confess to you, it's time. It's always the right time to give you all the glory. It's time to trust you for every need. It's time to recognize who owns our French fries. Heavenly Father, may your name be holy in us. May your kingdom rule in our lives. May your will control us. May you be sovereign on earth as you are in heaven. Give us provision. Give us bread for today's need. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Don't let us yield to temptation, Father. Protect us from the evil one. Your kingdom rules in our lives. Your power can do anything. Your glory is forever and ever. Amen.